أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين. Dear viewers, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. In our last sessions, I talked about different schools of thought. I talked about cultural relativism that was reducing moral values to what the society was saying. The approval and disapproval of society was a determining factor that was determining moral principles. I also talked about subjectivism that was reducing moral principles to personal feeling. Your guide is your feeling. Whatever your feelings tell you to do, then do it. And your likes and dislikes or your guide, always stick to your likes and dislikes. Always adhere to your feelings and emotions. I also criticized this school as I criticized the previous school. Lastly, I talked about ideal observer that was a major step forward, and what it was a vast improvement in the field of ethics. For according to ideal observer, if you are informed and if you are impartial, then you can pass moral judgments and your judgments will be characterized as moral. But I also find some faults and flaws with this argument. I told you that this school of thought is a good school of thought, but again, it suffers from some sort of setbacks and difficulties. And if these difficulties are dealt with, if these problems are resolved, then of course this school will be a good and an acceptable school of thought. And tonight I want to introduce another school of thought that is also one of the prevalent school of thought in the West particularly. This school of thought is supernaturalism. What is supernaturalism? And what does it say about moral values? Supernaturalism or divine common theory tells us that morality is nothing other than divine commandments, other than divine orders and prohibitions. Whatever God tells you to do, then it is good. And whatever God prevents you from doing it, then it is a bad thing. Then always look at God's words. Always look at God's commandments. What does God say? Always focus on what God says and on what God suggests. It is God who can describe morality and who can draw the border for moral values. We human beings are not able to do this job. We are imperfect. We suffer from different sort of problems and flaws. Therefore, we are not able to show the border and to draw the borderline between what is moral and what is immoral. So it is God who is able to tell us what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is bad. This theory is actually a more perfect version of ideal observer. You can say that according to ideal observer, if you are informed and if you are impartial, then you can pass moral judgments. And according to the present theory, God is an example of ideal observer. God is actually all-knowing. Whatever is there is known by God. God knows each and everything. God is all-powerful. He can do whatever you think. He can do whatever you imagine. So God is all-knowing and God is all-powerful. And therefore, God is very much informed. There is nothing on the ground which God does not know. And God is aware of everything. God is aware of everything that happens here and there. So His knowledge is vast. His knowledge is infinite. You cannot find any limit with the knowledge of God. So God is knowledgeable and God is all-knowing. And secondly, God is also impartial. God is the creator of each and everything. He is not biased. He does not take side with any side. And He is a very impartial judge. And therefore, He is an ideal observer. Whatever He tells us, it is actually a moral judgment. Then we should look at divine words, and it is the divine words that tell us what is moral and what is immoral. According to this school of thought, God is equal to goodness, and goodness is equal to God. You cannot differentiate between God and goodness. God and goodness are the same. They are different words for the same thing. They are different expressions for the same thing. So there is no difference between God and between goodness. They are the same. And also, according to this school of thought, morality is based on religion. You cannot detach religion from morality, and you cannot also detach morality from religion. They are quite interlinked with each other. They are interrelated to each other. Nobody can detach one from another. So religion is the base for morality. Religion is the infrastructure for morality. And also we can say that religion is the substructure and morality is the structure. Religion is the foundation for morality. And be always concerned about religion. Because if you take the example of a building, of a structure could be composed of two things, a structure and a substructure. And what is important in a building is the substructure. If you shake the substructure, then the whole building will be shaken. And if the substructure is at risk, then the whole building will be at risk. Same is the case with the religion and morality. Since religion is the basis for morality, therefore religion is very important for morality. If religion is shaken, or if there is a problem with religion, then there will be also a problem with morality. So religion is very important in regard with morality. Thus, according to this school of thought, if we say X is good, for example, then we mean to say that that God desires X. And if we, for example, say that X is bad, then we mean that X is something that God does not desire. So it is the likes and dislikes of God that are important and that are determining the nature of moral judgments. So we should always pay attention to what God says. The words of God are also very much clear in this connection. If you want to know about what God says in regard with moral principles, then you can give a look at the holy scriptures that are found here and there. The holy scriptures tell us what is good and what is not good. They tell us what is bad and what is not bad. For example, all the scriptures tell us that speaking the truth is good and telling a lie is bad. So always speak the truth and try to refrain from telling a lie. Speaking the truth is a principle emphasized by all religious texts. And also, avoiding telling a lie is that is forbidden by all religions. You can also, if you give a look at religious texts, you find that all religious texts are unanimous in telling that committing aggression is bad. So stop committing aggression and avoid committing aggression. It is a thing that is forbidden by all religious texts. Similarly, all religions tell us that interact friendly with others. Treat others as you like to be treated by others. Behave with others as you like to be behaved by others. So never be unkind towards others. Be kindly, be friendly towards others. All religious texts tell us that it is bad to kill innocent people. Killing innocent people is bad. It is forbidden by all religious texts. So it is a religious principle. Islam says that if one kills a person without any reason, then it is as if he kills all human beings. So you see, the killing of one person has been considered as killing the whole human beings. If this killing is without any reason, if this killing is without any major philosophy, so you see that killing is so bad, killing is so much awful, it has to be rejected. And also all religious texts tell us to stand witness and to witness properly. So this is also a principle we find in all religions. So as far as the religious texts are concerned, the religious texts are very much clear in terms of determining moral principle. The religious texts are very clear on moral principles. So we can give a list of moral principles based on a religious text. So these moral principles have to be taken into account, and they will shape our morality. They will tell us what is moral and what is immoral. If you act on the basis of these principles, then you will be a person who observes morality. But if you neglect these principles, if you do not pay heed to these principles, then you will be termed as a person who is not moral, who is in fact immoral. So as far as religious texts are concerned, they are very clear on defining moral principles. So we must take these moral principles into account. But now let's see for ourselves, what is the philosophy behind supernaturalism? Why should we subscribe to supernaturalism or to divine common theory? Why should we vote for this school of thought? Just like other schools of thought, this school of thought has also presented a number of justifications for the justification of their theory. Firstly, they say that you cannot be a person who backs up supernaturalism as long as you are not a theist. First of all, be a theist, believe in God, then you can talk about supernaturalism. Supernaturalism presumes the belief in God. One must first of all believe in God, and then he can talk about supernaturalism. If a person does not believe in God, if a person does not believe in the hereafter, if a person does not believe in metaphysics, then he cannot talk about supernaturalism. Talking about supernaturalism depends on your beliefs in religion, on your beliefs in God. So first of all, you must believe in God if you want to subscribe to supernaturalism. Secondly, the supporters of this school of thought tell us that if you want to subscribe to supernaturalism, you must accept the validity of all religious texts or the religious texts of major religions in the world. Because it is this religious text that tell us about moral propositions. It is this religious text that tell us what are moral and what are immoral. If you have any hesitation, if you have any doubt in regard with the validity or in regard with the authority of this religious text, then of course you will not be actually certain about the judgments produced by this religious text. You will always be skeptic. In order not to be skeptic, in order to be certain, you must develop a firm faith in what the religious texts say. For example, if you are a Muslim, you must have a firm belief in what in the authority of the Holy Quran as well as in the authority of the Islamic narrations. If you believe in these major Islamic sources, then of course you will be a person who is capable of subscribing to supernaturalism. But of course, if you have problem with accepting religious issues, if you have inclination towards atheism or towards Marxism or towards materialism, of course you will not be entitled to subscribe to this school of thought. And if you happen to subscribe to this school of thought, you will not be able to continue with this. Sooner or late, you will shun this school of thought. You will abandon this school of thought. In order to have a successful career, in order to be able to continue with this school of thought, first of all, you must improve your beliefs. You must develop beliefs in metaphysics by studying philosophical texts, by studying religious texts, or by talking with religious-minded people, by doing these sorts of things. Of course, you can improve your religious conditions. You can improve religious inclination in yourself by also by going to libraries and studying different materials that are available on religious knowledge. So these are the mechanisms and these are the ways through which you can improve your religiosity. And the third thing that has to be stressed upon is that if you are interested in the objectivity of moral values, then you must subscribe to supernaturalism. Of course, some people are very much objective-minded. Some are subjective-minded. Some are, in other words, some are after objectivity, while others are not after objectivity. They are after subjectivity. If you are the sort of the person who are after objectivity, then you must subscribe to supernaturalism, because it is supernaturalism that gives you a concrete answer in regard with moral values. It introduces an origin, a source for moral values. If you are a follower of supernaturalism, you will not be a confused person. You will be a person who has a purpose in life. You will be a person who has a destination and a person who knows his destination. Contrary to an atheist who is confused, who is misled, who goes astray, you are always guided and you are not perplexed and you know what is right and what is wrong. And there is a source for guidance, and it is God. God tells you what is right and what is wrong. And there are religious texts, and the religious texts tell you what is right and what is wrong. And there are also prophets, and who are the wisest of God, who tell you what is right and what is wrong. All these sources, all these authorities help you understand the nature of moral judgments. And based on these principles, you will understand what is moral and what is immoral. And these were some of the arguments produced by this school of thought in favor of supernaturalism. But now a question may arise. How can we know about the will of God? If we say that goodness is equal to the will of God, to the command of God, then how can we come to know about the command of God? How can we come to know about the will of God? How can we infer the will of God? There are certain ways through which you can infer the will of God. For example, by referring to religious texts, you can infer the will of God. If you are a Muslim, and if you refer to the Holy Quran or to the Islamic narrations, by referring to authentic religious sources, you will be able to get access to the will of God. And by consulting these materials, you will be able to know what God wills and what He does not will. This is one of the ways. But of course, it is not the only way. Because if you rely on this way, solely on this way, you might face problems. Because the religious texts are actually prone to different kind of interpretations. They can be subjected to different kind of interpretations. And since it is difficult to differentiate between the different types of interpretations and to find out the true and the correct interpretation, therefore we must exercise caution while approaching religious texts. We must try to adhere to that interpretation, and that is supported by major and by important scholars. Secondly, you can refer to religious authorities. Of course, each religion has its own authorities. If you are a Muslim, for example, you can consult mujtahids, you can consult maraji, you can consult Muslim scholars. These Muslim scholars, if they are pious, if they are God-fearing, if they are actually, if they are qualified, they can tell you what is the will of God and what is not the will of God, what is intended by God and what is not intended by God. But of course, this methodology is not sufficient methodology. There are certain problems with this methodology if you suffice to this methodology, because it is difficult sometimes to find a person in whom we can rely or on whom we can rely. It is difficult to find a person who is pious, and who is God-fearing, and who is qualified. Of course, if you can find such a person, then of course you can rely on his words. But if you cannot find such a person, then you will have problems. Another way for discovering the will of God is prayer. Through prayer and through communicating with God, you can come to know what God wills and what he does not will. You will be actually inspired by God to know what is the truth and what is falsehood. This is also good. But of course, again, it has own problems, because you are in touch with your feelings in this connection. And sometimes you might take your feelings for the will of God, and your feelings might be mistaken for the will of God. So try to be very much precise and try to be cautious while approaching your feelings and your wills. And you should not mix your wills with the will of God. You should not try to confuse between your will and the will of God, because to differentiate between your will and the will of God is a difficult task, and it is very much difficult to differentiate these two from each other. So there is another methodology also, that is the reason. Of course, you can rely on intuitions or on intellectual intuitions. Your intellectual intuitions might tell you what is right and what is wrong, and you are guided from within yourself what is right and what is wrong. These are the different methodologies that help you throughout your life. But according to this school of thought, one must not depend on one of these methodologies if one wants to succeed. Because if one depends on one of these methodologies, one may face problem in the long run. To overcome this problem, to resolve this problem, they tell you to combine between all these methodologies. If these methodologies are combined together, out will come a significant result. Out will come a result that is very much positive. Out will come a result that is very much acceptable. So try to combine these methodologies. Try to make use of all these methodologies in your life. And if you make use of all these methodologies, of course, you will be successful in your life, and you will be able to decipher or to discover the will of God. And once the will of God is discovered, and once you reach the state where you are able to discover the will of God, then you will be a successful person. This is what this school of thought tells us to do. Of course, this school of thought has its own attractions in its own merits. And one of its merits is that this school of thought is popular among different types of people. Contrary to cultural relativism, and contrary to subjectivism, and contrary to ideal observer theory that were popular among certain type of peoples, this school of thought is popular among the different types of people. Even all the masses, all the lower classes of society are actually familiar with this school of thought, and they follow this school of thought. So this is one of the positive points in regard with this school of thought. Another positive point about this school of thought is that this school of thought is very much transparent. It is very much clear. Its stance is very much clear in regard with moral issues. It tells you what to do and what not to do. All the things are clear in from the viewpoint of this school. Thirdly, this school is very much objective. And according to this school of thought, if you are inclined towards objectivity, then you must follow this school of thought, because this school of thought shows you an objective source for moral values, and it shows you that source, and it tells you how to make use of that source. All these benefits will be earned by you if you follow this school of thought. These were some of the points that were related in regard with this school of thought. In our next session, inshallah, we will assess this school of thought and we will criticize it and look at it critically in our next session, inshallah. Thank you very much.